You know, Karen Blumenthal is one of our favorite people. We've been reading her stuff for years. I think almost a quarter of a century covering financial issues, a couple of decades with the Wall Street Journal. And as you may remember, a few years ago, she started writing books, and specifically children's books. You know, Steve Jobs, Sam Walton, Hillary Clinton, Bonnie and Clyde. Karen Blumenthal joins us right now.
Sure, Bonnie and Clyde, they're some of the most famous people in Dallas.
It's not like Dick and Jane or something or other. I mean, this is Bonnie and Clyde.
But we all know them. And, you know, for a change, I wanted to do a story out of Dallas. And these are some of the most famous people to come out of here. But why? That was my question. Why, after almost 100 years, are these guys still so famous?
Why?
Well, part of it is the romance around the Depression-era outlaws. Part of it is they were sort of romantic characters. They were a young couple in love. She wrote poetry of sorts. They saw themselves sort of romantically. But they also did some
Faye Dunaway
things.
And Warren Beatty were like that. I mean, Bonnie and Clyde really were like that?
Not like Faye Dunaway and Warren Beatty. And that's part of the story, right? So our stories change as we want to make them what we want to make them. But they were romantic in the sense of what the Depression was like. And these outlaws were, they were entertainment. And they were very anti-authority at a time when people were angry at the banks. They were angry at law enforcement. Yeah. They were angry at the government.
Yeah, that's true. It was a great story. You know, you're right. I mean, this story continues to live because it was a great story just a couple of 3 months ago that they moved, and you know this better than I did, they moved Bonnie's body next to Clyde's or vice versa.
Well, they're talking about it. It hasn't happened.
Oh, they're talking.
It hasn't happened. So in the poem she wrote, you know, she says someday they'll go down together and they'll be buried side by side. But they weren't buried side by side because her mother refused to do it. Her mother said, you know, he had her for 2 years, but she's mine. And so they were buried separately.
You write juvenile books.
I write for young adults.
Young adults.
Which is sort of 12 and up.
But is this a Bonnie and Clyde is a 12 and up book?
Well, you know, one of the things we forget is that kids have heard of them. They don't know much about them, but they've heard of them, and they've heard of them because they're in music. They're especially in rap. They're in country music. They have this extended life because of what they represent, this young couple so devoted in love that they go down together. So I thought it would be an interesting look at what celebrity means in that sense, why we tend to hold on to celebrities for unusual reasons.
Yeah, like I say, I remember you at the Wall Street Journal and Dallas Morning News. And this is just, and you started, how long ago did you start writing these books?
So my first book came out in 2002. So it's been a while.
So do you like this better?
I like being my own boss.
Well, there's something to be said for that.
Yes.
And you've got, I mean, it's not like this is some vanity press or something.
No.
I mean, this is Viking.
Right.
Which is a real high-end.
Yeah, it's Random House. It's a big publisher.
They expect to sell a lot of these.
Yeah, well, it's a compelling story. And the other thing about young adult is that it crosses over. So if you don't want to read 500 pages, this is a book that gives you that opportunity to get the whole story, but in half the number of pages, and with photographs, which you don't always get in the books either.
And there are. I was looking at there are.
So a lot of the books cross over to adult readers who would like maybe something adult light, if you will.
So in researching Bonnie and Clyde, did you find anything out that you didn't know?
Yeah, there were a few things.
Were you surprised?
Yeah, there were a few things that surprised me. One of them was that there was a woman behind Clyde who was not Bonnie. And this was something that I found sort of buried in scrapbooks in the Dallas Public Library, scrapbooks by a sheriff whose name was this wonderful name, Smoot Schmid. He was elected sheriff in 32. He takes office in early 33, right as their crime spree is getting going. And he kept these scrapbooks in old wallpaper sample books of all kinds of crime stories and court stories and things that affected the sheriff's office. And within that, there were two newspapers I'd never seen, the Dallas Dispatch and the Dallas Evening Journal. And Dispatch was a particularly lively paper
that
interviewed Kumi Barrow regularly, Kumi Barrow being Clyde Barrow's mother. And it was clear, if you read these, that not only was she a really effective PR person for her son, She was always saying, oh, no, he would never hurt anybody. He would never kill someone. So he's not like that.
This is while the crimes
are going
on.
Yes. And she was also, I think, probably, and you'll appreciate this, probably the banker. Because Bonnie and Clyde came through West Dallas regularly. They loved their moms and dads and their family. Well, Bonnie's father passed away, but they loved their families. And they came through Dallas regularly, sometimes as often as once a week. And they would throw a Coke bottle at the gas station, which is still at Singleton and Borger, and they would say, meet up somewhere. And I think probably the fact that they were not caught for another year or two, till May of 1934, was because Kumi was probably passing around some extra cash.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So I think she was probably the financier. And it sort of became more clear in reading these stories from these newspapers that are defunct that I had never even heard of.
So Bonnie wrote these poems, and was she bright?
She was very smart. In fact, one of the fun things is a little clipping from the Dallas Morning News about how she won the sub-junior spelling bee when she was probably 11 or 12, which allowed her West Dallas school called Cement City to beat Highland Park in the Interscholastic League competition.
So where did they live? So was this is over in what we now think of as Trinity Groves beyond
that? Yeah, it's right past there. So West Dallas, so Clyde's family started out under the bridge. They're the farmers who come in after World War II. They're just desperate. They're so poor. They haven't been able to make a living. And they come in with nothing but the shirts on their back. They live in what were called free campgrounds. Essentially homeless families. And Dallas didn't want them, so they pushed them to West Dallas, which was unincorporated. No running water, no electricity, no paved roads. And this is the environment where he comes into his own. He starts as a teenager and tries to make a living working and discovers really it's more lucrative to steal cars. And, you know, he doesn't have many opportunities. He makes some terrible choices, but yeah. He also doesn't have many opportunities.
I can't wait to read it. You sound like you're really having a good time doing all
this. I'm having a great time.
And you are your own boss.
Yes.
You know, there's something to be said for that.
Absolutely.
Karen Blumenthal.
So can I just say one more
thing?
Yes. So on July 27th, I'm going to be doing a talk at the Dallas Public Library downtown about some of the treasures that are there on the seventh floor that deal with Bonnie and Clyde, including these scrapbooks. Some of them will be out. And there's police files. There are recordings. There's some other things that are in the archives there. And I think it'll be kind of fun.
Oh, that'll be fabulous. And then it's July 27th.
At 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Uh-huh.
All right, Karen Blumenthal, our favorite financial journalist turned best-selling author, and her new book, Bonnie and Clyde, The Making of a Legend. It's always good to talk to you.
Thank you, David.
Thanks. I'm David Johnson. News Radio 1080 KRLD.